you ever looked into the night sky and wondered, are we alone? We've learned so much about the world and our universe, and yet we realize there are so many mysteries yet unsolved. If you are interested in the unexplained and mysterious in our world, then join us in The Night Search, a forum for discussion and exploration of the world just beyond our reach. And now, your host for Night Search, Eddie Middleton.
Good evening. I am the co-host, Justin Abner. Eddie will be joining us shortly. He just had a run home. He's got out of his class late. Tonight is Tuesday, September 30th, and our guest tonight is Augie Noss, and he will be talking with us about time travel. And he's very knowledgeable. He's an author, and I'll let him come out and speak a little bit more about himself. Welcome, Augie.
Hey there. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. The only way I know how to do it.
That's good. Good to hear. Good way to live. So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the topic of time travel.
Oh, God. I don't know where to start. First, about myself, I guess, from what you probably will discern in a little bit from my accent, you will probably realize that I am an import to the United States. I was born and raised over in Europe, in Northern Europe, in Norway, and I came to the United States at the age of 25, wanted to become a pilot, so I did that, flew for 23 years, more or less, off and on, in between management of our flight school, air taxi, and a commuter airline operation, and as well as, doing a few other things after the years. And after I got done with flying, then I started doing other things. Paranormal research was one of them. And it intrigued me to the point where I kind of buried myself in it and really started researching it. And we started, in fact, Pat, which is probably also going to join us after a bit here, we started Oakcrest Institute for Paranormal Studies in Omaha. And we had a lot of fun with that. Yeah. And now, of course, I am here in down in Tucson, and both Pat and I, we were about 10 years ago now, BBC Television came over, and they interviewed us and a few other theoretical physicists, Green and a few other of them, and these are the people of the that have the absolute best knowledge on time travel in the world, and I felt honored to be on that BBC television TV documentary with them. And
the name of that documentary?
Yeah, it's called Time Trip.
Okay.
And I think they've taken them. There was several of them that was bootlegged and on the internet, but I think all those have come down. So you got to go to the BBC Television's website and find it on their website. And I'm sure they're probably going to charge a few bucks for it. But otherwise, it's kind of an interesting thing, I would say. But I learned something over the years by experimenting with these experiences that I've had in what I would call time travel. And that is that whatever is in your mind, that will affect what you will see and what you will experience.
Okay. So your time travel experiences, is it more of a mental / spiritual adventure, or is it a more physical occurrence?
Well, this is going to be kind of a tough one to swallow, but I don't think there are anything but spiritual experiences. Because if we go back to quantum physics, we're going to find out that the equations show that there really is nothing in the physical universe, don't even exist. There is just a projection of the mind, just like a hologram. And
wow.
Whatever we see, whatever we do, that is a an artificially created movie that we are living. And this shows in the equations of quantum physics. In fact, I'm going to have fun with this one. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to give you something to think about.
Okay.
And let me first set the stage for you so it will be easier to understand the question. Now, science tells us that the energy and matter cannot be created from nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
the most brilliant minds on the planet, Professor Stephen Hawking at Cambridge University in England, and many other theoretical physicists. They claim that their equations of quantum physics show that this whole universe was created from nothing. If matter and energy cannot be created from nothing, and the whole universe was created from nothing, and you are living in this universe created from nothing, what are you?
Yeah, that's a tough question there.
Yeah, that one takes that's a big pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually kind of goes back into a lot of the ancient mystery traditions, you know, where they talk about we are nothingness, and going back to that Zen state, that nothing state, you know, reflecting back on one another as that from that same kind of source, you know. So
yeah.
I can kind of see that and how that ties into it. And it's amazing that see those connections from ancient knowledge into modern physics.
Yeah, this is modern physics, and if I am not all that good on the equations, but the theories and the experiments I understand very well. And if I start looking at the equations, I lose myself. That's beyond me.
I can understand that. So, can you tell us a little bit about these time travel experiences that you were saying? How the mind, what's on your mind, your preconceived notions, your expectations that can affect what you're perceiving, right?
Yeah, and that's true, because when we did that interview with BBC Television, I was doing hosting and producing two TV shows in Tucson, and one of them was called The Hidden Truth, and we had all kinds of nasty stuff that we covered on the air. We dive into government bureaucracies, government cover-up, government corruption, and alien abductions and things like that. We had all those nasty things on there, and that was on my mind. And if you look at time, time is not constant. There is a variations in time, but that may not be exactly what we think. In fact, in science, there is no evidence that time even exists. So if you look at time, it is something that goes forward. Yeah, it goes forward, but it also comes from the past. So it reaches into the future, just like your hand with your fingers sticking out. You can go up one timeline that ends up being your thumb, or you can go up another one. If you make a different decisions at this moment, you could end up going up a different timeline.
Yeah.
Or if you're halfway, you know, a few years into that timeline, you make a decision again that is contrary to the continuance of that particular timeline, and you end up creating a new timeline.
Wow.
And what I understand from what I have seen is that wherever you are, that is all that exists in your mind. Whatever you did before and other timelines, that collapses. That field collapses and no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
So that history don't even exist. So it gets a little complicated, but once you start going down that timeline, whatever you have in your mind is what you're going to see. And that's why I had all those government corruption things and so on in my mind when we did that TV show. And also before that, so that's some of the things that I saw, and some of those things did not happen. So, yeah, so it is a little tricky, but what I understand now is that I was in the wrong timeline. There are timelines where that would have happened, but I was not in that timeline, and that's why it did not appear.
Kind of go off topic here, you know, I hear that's similar to what's happened with people are always talking about, like, what was going to happen with 2012 and stuff like that, and why that hasn't happened is because it happened in a different timeline, you know?
Yeah.
So and that some of the disasters were averted because they were placed in a different timeline, so this timeline wasn't affected by it, you know? Which is kind of fascinating to think about.
Yeah,
that
is exactly right. Yeah?
Oh, I wanted to say, One thing that shows up in a lot of time travel stuff is that time only exists in this dimension. If you talk to people that have had near-death experiences, they say time doesn't exist, that everything happens at once. And that's sort of mind-blowing in itself, you know.
Yeah.
And that is exactly right. And in the reality of form is where time is more prevalent, though even above our vibration a little bit into the astral, the lower part of the astral world, they still have time. But when you come into the higher spiritual realms where, let's say, the most of the near-death experiences bring you, there is no time. Everything is in the super creation, which happens right now in the present.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah. I had a shaman teacher who always he did a lot of amazing things, and time travel was one of them. And he always said, in order to do that, you have to travel fast. Like, if you go back in time, you have to go faster than the speed of light. And he was so excited when they found the Higgs boson, and they found that it goes faster than the speed of light, because the general theory was nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. And when that happened, he was just so happy to hear that, because that proved that you can travel faster than the speed of light. That's when things start moving in reverse.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when you talk about traveling forward or backward, it's probably easier to go forward, I suppose, because that slate is clean. But going backwards, how would you like to go back and change something that you really screwed up in the past?
That'd be amazing. But, you know, with that always kind of creates that paradox, you know, like how do you know that you didn't already go back and do that, and that's how you ended up where you are now? Wanting to go back to again, creating that loop.
Actually, in order for time travel, what I have seen is that, yeah, you can go back and you can change things. But when you go back to, let's say it's something that you screwed up, and you go back right before that, but now you have this thing called memory again. And when you enter into that timeline, you don't remember what you know here today. So you could very well end up doing the same mistake. Or if you don't, then you will go off in a different timeline, which collapses this timeline, and this one never existed. And you will never know that you ended up creating a new future for yourself. You will never know that.
Wow.
Fascinating. Augie, are you actually saying that there's an infinite number of timelines?
Yeah, I don't know about the infinite part, but it probably could be. There is, all depends on what you create. Your mind creates it all.
Uh-huh.
Everything is created in the mind.
Well, the universe is just complicated beyond imagination. I can't conceive how complicated that is. That's just boggles the mind. Utterly.
Yeah, and it's not only one universe either.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. I mean, some of the yogis say there may be an infinite number of universes.
The multiverse.
Yep, multi. Probably multi, more so than infinite, I suppose, but it's hard to say.
Well,
I've never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way that someone is overseeing the whole thing, like God, or...
There is a plan behind it, because the universe is an intelligent energy system. So when you talk about God, that is probably as close to God as you can get. But mankind, you know, they wouldn't understand that unless they humanize it. They take this concept of God and they put it inside of a person and give that person an unlimited capability of creation and power. And that's not the way it is.
Anthropomorphic thinking.
Yeah.
No, it's anthropomorphic thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Wow.
Would you say most contemporary physicists subscribe to this idea of all these multiple timelines?
Not contemporary, but the theoretical physicists, they're coming around to that now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that theory has been around a long time, but they haven't, I think it's about the last 10 years or so that they've been able to prove. Stephen Hawking was one of the first ones. He says, there definitely is more than one universe.
Hawking is saying that.
Yeah.
And I know there were some physicists were entertaining the unbelievably outrageous theory that maybe there are infinite number of lives that we are living right now, contemporaneous with the present one I'm aware of, that like I would have an infinite number of selves in other lives, other timelines. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, and I don't know about the infinite part again, but there is, from what I have seen, there is possible that you could have maybe two existences.
Yeah.
Yeah, there could be more than one existence, and that is actually through there is an experiment that was done with two identical twins, and they took them under hypnosis and brought them down, and they explained that they shared the same soul, both of them.
Wow.
Oh.
And same thing. If you're living here, you could possibly have another body somewhere else. And the soul would represent both of those bodies.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard that actually. And if you go off of more of the esoteric or old teachings, the old ways, like some of the, like my shamanic teacher once explained, was that time is kind of strange in the matter that. Everything is, like, right next to each other, just separated by, like, seconds. Like, the past could be, like, a few seconds separated from us, if you know. Like, we could be running parallel stream. Do you want to say it like
yeah.
that?
Yeah,
and,
you're right on that. It's a little shorter than 1 second, but you're right on that.
Yeah. And on top of that, he was saying that, like, past lives and et cetera, you can be actually living those lives simultaneously. I'm trying to think how to phrase it. You live them simultaneously, and you can, like, represent your soul in different ways, and when you're actually going, like, regressive hypnosis, you're just kind of merging all of them together into one, in a sense, and you can see that other alternate reality, I guess.
You see, that makes perfect sense to me, because, think of it, outside of the physical, in the higher vibrations of the spiritual existence, there is no time, so the present is laying right on top of the past. So technically, you could possibly have two existences at the same time.
Hmm. And you know, he also even talked about some paranormal cases where you would think you see a ghost in your house of someone living in, say, like the 1800s, and it turns out that what it is that time is just really thin there, and that you're actually bleeding into the past, and for that split second, you both exist within the same time frame, and you're seeing them as a ghost, and they're seeing you as a ghost, or some other strange being, because they don't understand what's going on, and then suddenly you're gone.
Yeah.
So I find that just as fascinating.
In fact, I'm in the process of publishing a book right now, that I speak extensively on time and explain what time comes into the physical existence, and because there is, in fact, there's some quantum physics explanations to that. Because there is a Dr. Dispenza out in California, he has done experiences with how consciousness enters into the physical existence, and it comes through little small, very small honeycombed tubes inside the neurons. And they create an electric field, and this field, the field peaks and collapses anything from 40 to 50 times per second. Every time that it collapses is when you have consciousness. Between every time that it collapses, there is nothing. So all and everything you see recreates itself between those collapses of the field.
Wow.
So now it really complicated. And that's where time, actually each collapse also have a cyclical effect to it. Dr. Dispenza. Yeah?
One thing I've noticed, or I've had this pointed out to me, and that is, have you ever, for example, you're in a dream or something, and somebody shows up in that dream, and it's not anybody that you have any close connection to, and yet that person shows up in your dreams, and you, I remember asking somebody about this, and they said, well, yes, that it, on a different timeline, that person might be your marriage partner or your lover or something like that, and yet on ours, you recognize them, but you don't know all the story behind it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, anyhow, they told me I was living on seven timelines. I don't know where they got that. Anyhow, I thought it was interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to the mind, absolutely everything is possible. I have no, I don't expect any limitations. And it depends on how far you can imagine, how big you can imagine, it's possible that it could be done.
Yeah. And we find that, especially from a shamanic point of view, we find that our own belief systems create limitations on what we can or cannot do, what we believe we can do, what we believe we can experience, and what we believe, how far out our minds can actually perceive, interact with, and alter, you know.
Right.
What your mind can conceive, you can achieve, right?
Right.
That's just amazing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, go ahead.
Are you familiar with something called Operation Looking Glass that is one of the secret military groups has experimented with out, maybe out in the Area 51 somewhere, or where they can look back at past events?
Not really, but I know they have a spy satellite. That name is Looking Glass, and they also had a Boeing 747 going out of Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha that they called it the Looking Glass because they had some big cameras in it. But that's probably not what you different.
Well, what I know of as far as like government testing with the mind and their psychic ability is like Project Stargate and all that with like Major Ed Dames and all them who are doing psychic spying, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that program has been around. They said, oh, it don't work, so we shut it down. Yeah, they shut it down, and then they moved it somewhere else.
I actually knew some people who were actually involved in that, and they were very, very still active. And they still got contacted by the government to do some viewing.
Yeah, that's what remote viewing is all about.
And when you remote view the past, you're literally projected back to the past in a sense. Were you witnessing the actual event again?
You're going within your mind, and you see what's in the soup of creation outside of the physical. And because there, everything in the past, present, and future is just sitting there, ready for us to interact with. So you go to that location, because everything in the universe is this one, and probably most of the others, they are all connected. So if I'm sitting here, I'm still in connection with all of you. So if I had a way to open up that lower tip of the pituitary gland, which is supposed to be the God center, and if I could develop that to the point where I had total opening at all times to that soup of creation, I would know all things. And once in a while that happens. I had a very strange experience while I was away for 4 years here, and that was kind of like that. Everything showed up, and full understanding in details, and it was there. but it stays with you and it fades after a while. And then, you know, the trick is to start writing, you know, write things down so you don't forget it afterwards. But it's clear in your mind for several hours before it goes away.
Yeah.
There's people that have had this throughout history and written about it.
Yeah, no, William James, in the Varieties of Religious Experience, reports some cases where someone had a mystical experience that may have just lasted a few seconds, but it said for that length of time they knew everything.
Yeah.
And then, and then after the experience was over, they just couldn't remember.
But then again, there's a way to go back and get that. Once you have experienced it once, it is recorded on several places. It's recorded physically in the brain as electrical impulses, and it's recorded in your bioelectromagnetic field outside of the body, as well as it's recorded in the super creation, what you had for experience. So you can go to one of these three places and you can relive it.
Yeah. And as it was explained to me through a different point of view, is that when we experience things through, if you want to call it spirit, it's recorded within the subconscious because it comes directly from that subconscious source. And our logical mind, our analytical mind, usually throws it out almost immediately because they didn't come up with the information, and it has to be the one that creates the information and stores it in the subconscious. So at first it throws it away, and we think that we can't access it. Through like hypnosis, meditation, whatever, we can learn to access our subconscious to retrieve that information that we lost, or et cetera. So
that could make sense, actually, because the conscious mind, the analytical mind, looks at that and says, no, that don't make sense. That's too strange, and they shut it out. Yeah, I could see that.
And that's exactly where that comes from, you know. And, you know, a lot of my own experiences, I find that to be true, especially when it comes to dreams and different experiences that I have, you know. Immediately your analytical mind wants to write it off and says this isn't possible, especially when perceiving other entities from, you know, different dimensions or whatever that come through. You know, we see them, like, briefly for a second, and you look to see if they're there, and then they're gone. It's because our analytical mind kicks in and says, wait, that shouldn't be there, and it defines its reality. Again, it's that limitation on our perception of our world around us that defines what we can or cannot see. And we talked about how cameras can pick up spirits and stuff like that, and how we can't see them with our own eyes is because cameras, in essence, view with, if you want to call it innocence, they have no analytical mind and no ego, really, to define what it should be looking at. You know.
Yep.
So they're totally objective, so to speak. Yeah.
Of
course, there again, see, it all goes back to the mind. Mind is the only thing there is. Mind is the same as spirit. Actually, kind of the same, because spirit has a mind. Spirit is an energy with the mind. So there's not a duality. It's as one, but it still has two different expressions to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Augie, made me think of something I read about years ago. This man that traveled to Tibet, and he studied with these monks for at least 6 months, and he was practicing one thing to visualize in his mind. This jade statue of Buddha, he would look at it and then shut his eyes and try to visualize it. Through this discipline, and I can't imagine, you know, how he had this kind of patience to stay at it the way he did, but he got to the point where he could shut his eyes and see this jade Buddha with more clarity than he could with his eyes open. So that tells us something about the power of the mind.
Yeah, it does. And if he reached out to try to touch it, it just might have been solid.
Yeah. And I know W.B. Yeats, the great Irish poet, you know, he was talking about how mental imagery he would have in his dreams was more vividly real to him than what he would see, you know, with his eyes open, you know, waking consciousness.
Of course, going back thinking about going back and thinking about what this physical existence is, then it makes sense because it is nothing. So it is only a holographic projection by the mind that puts us in it. And we are walking around in it, living in it, doing things in it, and learning that the only has the purpose for this physical existence is just to play games, have fun, and learn and grow. So the soul can have more experiences in the physical, which it cannot do where it is. And that way it gets more spiritual capacity, so it advances up the spiritual ladder and no longer need for physical existence as they move on to higher vibrations and learn and grow and play and have fun there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Augie, this sounds a lot like, you know, 19th century German absolute idealism. Think about this one philosopher, Fichte, who was talking about the self, or the ego, literally creates the world or reality or the projection out of itself. But it's necessary to do this in order to have an object to confront, you know, and interact with. But the idea is that there is no physical world. It's all a projection of the mind, of the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the things that were taught in Europe at that time, you know, during the, you know, before the Second World War and or even after some, it came out of the Far East, came out of India, because even Hitler did a lot of research on that, and he found a lot of things that he brought back and disseminated among the German people at the time.
Hmm.
So you're saying it's a holographic universe, and this is going to be a lot of what your book actually deals with, right, and how this relates.
Dealing extensively with that. What happened at what people call the Big Bang? Of course, there were no Big Bang, but what happened at the first creation, and how long has it taken from there to here? In a spiritual existence, there's only a split moment from the first creation till now. But in a physical sense, it's taken 14.7 or more, because of bent space, they don't realize that, but the billion years. So if you look at that, then it takes on a little different connotations. Think more so with the spiritual, because that's where everything is. That's what we should be concerned about. When we are more concerned about, oh, gosh, so-and-so told me this and told me off, and he gave me the finger driving down the road. Of course, I was in the middle of the road, but that don't matter. He shouldn't have done it. And all kinds of complaints every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
That is not important. We should leave that behind and just shrug it off, because that's not where any of the importance is. We need to stay with the spiritual values of the cosmos.
You know, we were talking a little bit earlier about, and still are really, about how the mind projects its own reality. My next question would kind of be a group of minds, like a society or a culture, projecting a reality of what is normal, and a child being born into that. Would they be seeing that reality, or would they be seeing a true reality? That's if you know what I'm saying here.
Yes, I see what you're getting at, and that is absolutely true. There is one saying that I have, and that is where two or more minds are united in harmony, they create a third mind, which has the potential mind power of the two or more of them multiplied by each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's 10 people sitting in the same room brainstorming something, you have the mind power of 100 people in there trying to solve this problem or brainstorming it.
Mm-hmm.
It goes exponential. And I there's a very good example on that. I think it's about 15 years ago when Art Bell on the Coast to Coast radio show, he did an experiment because Texas was burning up. There were brush fires. They haven't had rain for 3 months anywhere down there. And there were fires everywhere. And he asked his listeners that there's anything from 5 to 20 million listeners at any one day. And he asked them, visualize rain over Texas. And we all did. I looked at thunderstorms, and people visualized rain. And the next days, there were thunderstorms and rain all over Texas. And the weather forecasters down there, they were dumbfounded. And they went on the air and admitted this rain was not in any of the computer weather models. It should not have happened, but it did.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. I didn't know that.
So the mind creates reality. That's the only thing I create.
Let me ask you this question. This question. Whose mind are we talking about? Are we talking about each individual mind or God?
All the minds combined together, as well as the individual, which is part of the all, is God. That's the self-aware universe.
Mm-hmm.
So no one is really totally an individual then.
There is only projections, individual projections that we see. Whatever we see around us, that is all artificial. It's a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at it this way. Our computers now, they also create holograms. All you have to do is using laser, and you got a computer, and then you got to have an image, you got to have a light, and you have a medium to project it into. It could be anything from fog or anything, you know. Yeah, they create holograms also. And they've been doing that for probably about 30, 40 years now. What kind of elaborate physical hologram do you think could be created if you had 14.7 billion years to develop it?
Wow.
Yeah,
you know,
that could be looking at what you're looking at right now. That could very well be it.
And what you're saying there is actually very fascinating to think about, you know, and they talk about all the atoms that make up our bodies and stuff like that, and light reflecting through them all, making up our holographic self. You know, that's just fascinating to think about sometimes.
What I have seen is that the first creation happened by accident. In the great sea of light, which is, I guess Christians would call it heaven, and the Vikings would call it Valhalla. You know, you got all kinds of different names for it. But what happened there is that there was a thought that kind of broke out of the great sea of light. And a curious thought that thought, gee, what can I create on my own away from the collective? And that was the initial creation of everything there was from there on into the future. With that phenomenal creative capacity created whatever there could be created in the future and lodged it in their super creation. And by doing that, it's looked around probably, I'm playing on words here, and then it multiplied itself throughout all of existence. So that one single thought is on all levels of vibration or all levels of existence or universes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why you can take, in quantum physics, you can take one particle here, a single photon, and you can split that photon, take the other half to the other side of the galaxy, and you can excite this part of the photon, and the other part of that photon reacts to it immediately, because there is no distance.
Mm-hmm.
That entangled photon is in two places at the same time, because there is only one.
Yeah. And, you know, that could also kind of explain the origin of why people are such social creatures, you know, why they strive
mm-hmm.
to be with one another, you know?
Yeah. We are drawn to people with the same vibrations we are.
Mm-hmm.
If I run into a total scuzz bucket, excuse my language, I don't feel drawn to it. But the people
mm-hmm.
of our own vibration we're drawn to because we have things in common and we vibrate on the same frequency that attracts.
Yeah, and that's so true. And it's amazing when you find those connections too. And a lot of times they do kind of manifest, as we were talking about earlier, that I found out, is those people that you come across like, I know you from somewhere, but I don't know where type thing, you know? Because it kind of seems like it's a continuous thing that spills over from other timelines, et cetera, you know?
Or from the distant past.
Exactly. I just thought that was fascinating.
Let me ask you this question about the afterlife. Is there an afterlife or where an individual can continue to exist as an individual?
Can I answer that two different ways?
Yes.
There is only one life that is continuing over again, over again, over again, over again. Because what we see in the physical is not life. It is only existence.
Mm-hmm.
It has not, that holographic projection you're living here has nothing to do with life. It is only an existence. Life is what stays on forever, and whatever you see around you will eventually decay, deteriorate, and become non-functional, including our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And have you heard the saying that God does not create any junk?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I wonder about that. Why is it so much death and misery all over the place, sickness and so on? Is that perfect? Of course not.
No.
God was given the name that was not meant to have. God, the word God comes from the old Sumerian language. It meant great leader.
Mm-hmm.
When Enki said to the people that he created, the Adam and so on, Shava and his wife, he said, you know, I am your God. That meant what it meant. I am your great leader.
Hmm. Yeah. And that what you were talking about was also kind of reminding me of what more of the indigenous people, like the talk about the medicine wheel and the wheel of life, how everything is constantly changing and striving, and you're talking about the afterlife and stuff like that, you know, and how when we die, it's just a change of existence, you know, it's a change of where we are now to live another life, you know, each death is a new birth, you know,
mm-hmm.
And yep. When they talk about dying, and it's really, for me, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. When we talk about dying, as I said, you know, when you die, you're also first born. So if you think about that, when you were first born into this next life, you just died from somewhere else, you know, and it's just kind of mind-boggling.
It's because the reason we have a hard time understanding is that because we think everything around us is real.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't. None of it is.
Well,
now, what really happens is that when you get born and you live all your life, let's say that you're 132 years and 6 months old by the time you die again. By the
mm-hmm.
time you get on the other side and you get received by the so-called guardians of the soul and you get to review what you did and see what you learned from this experience, it has only taken a moment. Split moment for you to go through your whole lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can figure it out. Well, do I want to go back and do this again? Did I miss something that I would love to experience this or that? Yeah, let me do another trip. And then you go back, get born again, live it all the lifetime, and go back. It's just a game.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is pretty controversial, but that's all right.
Well, I have a question for you then. Let's say some of our listeners are more interested in how to kind of focus away from this more physical reality to attain the spiritual essence. How would you suggest someone go about doing that?
I had something was breaking in on the phone there. I couldn't quite hear what you said. Could you say that again?
Yeah. My question is if someone is interested in, like, trying to understand the world in less of a physical term, more of a spiritual term, and tap into
this kind of spiritual reality of things, how would you encourage someone to go about doing that?
Oh, there is one gateway that pretty much everybody, not everybody, but most people would need to go through, and that is to learn how to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to close down the mind, get rid of all the clutter in your mind, all the private conversations you have about this guy that flipped you off on the highway, or, you know, he said so-and-so to you, and, you know, I don't like that person. All these conversations in your head has got to go away. So you open up the channel that you get a two-way flow of information going into this universal consciousness.
Okay.
Without meditation, you're going to have a pretty hard time doing it. Then you're going to be locked in the physical for a while. You will not usually advance.
Is there any particular technique of meditation you recommend?
There's many different types of it, but I would say, let me take an example. Transcendental meditation that's where I started out learning it back 50 years ago back in Europe. And it's a good exercise to learn from. But what they're saying is that sit down, think of nothing, close your mind down, and whatever happened is good. That's true. But it's kind of like getting in your car, heading down the road, and say, well, I don't care where I'm going, but everything is fine. You're going to get somewhere, but may not be where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So why not, while you are right before you go into meditation, decide where you're going to go, what you're going to accomplish. Tell yourself, speak to the subconscious mind, which immediately delivers that request to the superconscious mind, which reaches in to the universal consciousness and start bringing stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, tell yourself, I will have direct contact with the universal consciousness. I will receive universal knowledge. Or if you have a specific challenge that you're working on, then tell yourself, when I come out of meditation, I will have the answer to so-and-so.
Hmm.
And you'd be surprised, that subconscious mind starts going to work and might just find a solution to you. The only thing about it, though, is that it might find a solution you don't like to hear. Because not all good solutions are very comfortable all the time. Sometimes the solution might be that you're supposed to go to talk to somebody and say, apologize for something, and God, we don't want to do that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Wow.
Make any
we
sense?
Have about, I was going to say we have about 12 minutes left in the show. Is there any information you want to give to the audience, how they can contact you, find your books or whatever?
I talked to Eddie about that before, so right now, the book that, if you happen to have a pen in front of you, you can write it down. It's not out yet, but it will be in the next couple of months, and that is, it's called Spiritual Science, Higher Consciousness Thinking. And How to Access Universal Consciousness.
Fascinating. I look forward to seeing that book in the shelves.
It will be out shortly. And now there is another that in about 3 or 4 days, there's a website that probably I could be reached through. And my phone number will be on there. And that is Carrot Bars. That's like in gold, one carat, carrotbarstrust.com.
All right.
Carrotbartrust.com. You may have to wait a couple of days. It was just put up, so you can find my phone number there. You can get in touch with me. And I'll be glad to talk to anybody. That'll be fun.
Yeah, well,
awesome.
We're definitely going to get you back on to interview you more about your book when it gets close to time of publication.
Yeah.
And I guess you're going to pull it all together in this book, what all we touched on tonight, right?
I'm sorry, say again?
I say you're going to pull it all together in this book, everything we touched on tonight.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot more than that. I even go into, hey, I even explain what the wanted posters that the Romans put out, what Jesus looked like.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
He didn't look like you think he did. I'll let you in on a secret.
Yeah.
I'll let you in on a secret. Now, this is just between you and me now, right?
Okay.
He was not a Jew.
He was an
Israelite. There's a big difference.
Okay.
But
well,
that's for another show. That gets pretty.
I bet. All right.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing to talk about sometime.
Well, he certainly didn't look like a Caucasian, though, right? Like we've seen all kinds of artistic representations. Idealized portraits.
There is a good description of it in an appendix to the Dead Sea Scrolls that explains exactly how the trial and execution of Yahshua Beth Halachme was. That's his Hebrew name, by the way. And they explain how it happened and what he looked like and so on. So, well, that's for another show.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to, like, any messages you want to give to the audience?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, when I say that everything starts in the mind, then that should tell us something, is that whatever we have in your mind is what we will have in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So we should start being a little kinder to each other. And there's one saying that I have that people should think about. And that is, there is especially here in America, where everything is about money.
Mm-hmm.
The saying goes as, there is two things that go to the bank. One of them is money, and the other one is goodwill. And they have equal value at different times. I have used that over the years, and it benefited me greatly.
Yeah.
Well, I had one of our listeners commented that Israelite meant that he did not practice the Jewish religion. Is that the definition of distinction?
No, he was practicing the Jewish religion, and the problem is that how in the world did they create Christianity and the Catholic Church out of the Jewish religion? Well, they did that in 325 in Constantinople, Turkey, or Nicaea, they called it then, when all the learned got together to create a compilation of information. They were going to call it religion, so they got unity within the Roman Empire. That's all Constantine wanted. Constantine, that ordered this religion to be created, he never accepted Christianity before on his deathbed.
Yeah, I've heard that story,
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was mainly motivated politically about creating a state religion for controlling the people, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was all political maneuvering.
Yeah, you had the pagans and everyone else. You got to get on their toe.
So
they had a lot of blending of traditions and ideologies and symbolic references. Yeah.
Well, Augie, really appreciate you coming on such short notice, and you did a great show for us tonight, touched on all kind of intriguing questions that would be, you know, material for future shows. So we'd have to do quite a few future shows to get more depth in some of the things you touched on tonight. But all this will be in your book, and we definitely want our listeners to take down that website one more time. What is the name of the website again?
First of all, it was just put up, so it will probably take a couple of few days before it is online. But it's Carrot Bars, like in carrot, you know, so many carrots of gold, K Carrot Bars Trust, T-R-U-S-T .com.
All right. And I think Ron Stone has a question.
Yeah.
Well, Ron, either.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Mr. Nost.
Well, hey
I
there.
Was wondering, since there's a difference between a philosopher and a physicist, what would you think of the following statement? Rather than say that no reality is real, to say instead that all realities are real, but the mind has the ability to modulate across them.
Well, I think I'm going to bow to you, because you are probably right. Looking at it from you're looking at the other side of the coin, and that is right too, because all realities are real in their own vibration. And instead of no reality is real, that is not right, because the spiritual reality is real. But what we are creating here is artificial from a spiritual point of view. But in the physical, when you have two things of the same vibration, they can affect each other.
Mm-hmm.
So in the physical, everything is real physically. So you know, you're right.
Wild guess. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Well, hey, by the way, I've been trying to get a hold of you.
I know. Good to hear
from
you.
Thanks for calling in, Ron. I'm glad you could be on the show. I hope you were on board earlier, because I knew you would have some comment.
He is an impressive guest. I've known him for many years. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I guess we're about running out of time, but I guess the question I would come back to Aristotle posed, the eternal question of philosophy, what is reality?
Yeah,
well, thanks
what
for
is
listening.
Reality? It is
That's
what
right.
the mind decides it is.
Yeah, I'll
thanks,
just you make of it, I would say.
I think you're on the right track there for sure. Thanks for listening, folks, tonight for Night Search for the outrageous information that may all be true. Good night.
Yes, good night, and thank you again for coming on. You all have a great evening.
Let's do it again.